We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
Now, today, Hezbollah-controlled Lebanon now presides over the UN Security Council. This means, in effect, that a terror organization presides over the body entrusted with guaranteeing the world's security. You couldn't make this thing up. So here in the UN, automatic majorities can decide anything. They can decide that the sun sets in the west or rises in the west. I think the first has already been preordained. They can also decide, they have decided, that the Western Wall in Jerusalem, Judaism's holiest place, is occupied Palestinian territory. And yet, even here, in the General Assembly, the truth can sometimes break through. In 1984, when I was appointed Israel's ambassador to the United Nations, I visited the great rabbi of Lubavitch. He said to me, and ladies and gentlemen, I don't want any of you to be offended, because from personal experience of serving here, I know there are many honorable men and women, many capable and decent people serving their nations here. But here's what the Rebbe said to me. He said to me, you'll be serving in a house of many lies. And then he said, remember that even in the darkest place, the light of a single candle can be seen far and wide. Today, I hope that the light of truth will shine, if only for a few minutes, in a hall that for too long has been a place of darkness for my country. So as Israel's prime minister, I didn't come here to win applause. I came here to speak the truth. The truth is...
You're listening to the BBC World Service. This is live coverage of Benjamin Netanyahu speaking at the UN, a UN he has just called the theatre of the absurd, a hall, the General Assembly, he's just described as a place of darkness for my country. We'll hear what else he has to say.
Peace must be anchored in security. The truth is that we cannot achieve peace through UN resolutions, but only through direct negotiations between the parties. The truth is that so far the Palestinians have refused to negotiate. The truth is that Israel wants peace with a Palestinian state, but the Palestinians want a state without peace. And the truth is, you shouldn't let that happen. Ladies and gentlemen, when I first came here 27 years ago, the world was divided between East and West. Since then, the Cold War ended. Great civilizations have risen from centuries of slumber. Hundreds of millions have been lifted out of poverty. Countless more are poised to follow. And the remarkable thing is that so far, this monumental historic shift has largely occurred peacefully. Yet a malignancy is now growing between East and West that threatens the peace of all. It seeks not to liberate, but to enslave, not to build, but to destroy. That malignancy is militant Islam. It cloaks itself in the mantle of a great faith, yet it murders Jews, Christians, and Muslims alike with unforgiving impartiality. On September 11th, it killed thousands of Americans, and it left the Twin Towers in smoldering ruins. Last night, I laid a wreath on the 9/11 memorial. It was deeply moving. But as I was going there, one thing echoed in my mind. The outrageous words of the president of Iran on this podium yesterday. He implied that 9/11 was an American conspiracy. Some of you left this hall. All of you should have. Since 9/11, militant Islam has slaughtered countless other innocents in London, in Madrid, in Baghdad, in Mumbai, in Tel Aviv, in Jerusalem, in every part of Israel. I believe that the greatest danger facing our world is that this fanaticism will arm itself with nuclear weapons. And this is precisely what Iran is trying to do. Can you imagine that man who ranted here yesterday? Can you imagine him armed with nuclear weapons? The international community must stop Iran before it's too late. If Iran is not stopped, we will all face the specter of nuclear terrorism, and the Arab Spring could soon become an Iranian winter. That would be a tragedy. Millions of Arabs have taken to the streets to replace tyranny with liberty. And no one would benefit more than Israel if those committed to freedom and peace would prevail. This is my fervent hope. But as the Prime Minister of Israel, I cannot risk the future of the Jewish state on wishful thinking. Leaders must see reality as it is, not as it ought to be. We must do our best to shape the future, but we cannot wish away the dangers of the present.
This is Benjamin Netanyahu speaking at the UN. We've got it on a couple of minute delay because he started during our news bulletin at 5:30. We're just going to pause it there. Don't worry, we're going to continue to play all of this speech. But we do have a number of guests in the World Have Your Say studio in central London listening from different parts of the world with different affiliations. There's been some severe criticism of the US from Benjamin Netanyahu. He was told, he said, in 1984 when he began his job as Israeli ambassador to the UN, he was told by one rabbi, you'll be serving in a house of many lies. He described the hall of the General Assembly as a place of darkness for my country, and he complained that Israel has had been denounced more in the UN than the rest of the world's nations combined. This despite the fact, he said, Israel is the one true democracy in the Middle East. I wonder what those of you in the World Have Your Say studio have made of the speech so far.
Yeah, this is Mark. I have a few things to say, and I'll keep it short. I think, first of all, that he didn't really say anything relevant to the Palestine bid. What he did was an equivalent of an ad hominem attack on the United Nations without any mention of any facts on the ground, saying that the Palestinians refused to negotiate in the past, which was clearly disproven with the Palestine papers, which showed that they were ready to sell out almost all the points which were being asked for, and that the Israeli government still refused to accept. So I think this is simply also not true.
What about the rest of you?
And just let me say one short point. I think all this point about the bid is as if this was an end point, as if it precluded negotiations, and this is simply not the fact. It's said nowhere. The only thing that will happen is that the Palestinians, with access to legal instruments, will be in a stronger position to negotiate, and it seems like this is something some people are afraid of.
Hi, I'm Jay. I'm from the London School of Economics. Again, I just wanted to say, as a pro-Israel advocate, I'm sitting here watching Netanyahu on the screen in front of us, and him and his sidekick, Lieberman, the bouncer, the nightclub bouncer, they're clowns. They are not advocates for Israel. Advocates for Israel will tell you that to want peace, you have to treat your neighbours well. The occupation that he doesn't talk about, if anything, is the main thing destroying Israeli security at the moment. That is our greatest existential threat. It's the way we're behaving ourselves. He parades ourselves as the only democracy in the Middle East. Well, if that were a flawed one, Talk about the boycott law, banning boycotts. Talk about investigation into leftist
groups. So that's what you want to hear, but let's talk about what he has said.
Okay.
Those two of you who have not been impressed, is there anyone in the World Have Your Say studio who thinks Netanyahu is getting the tone right?
Just to finish my point briefly, what he has talked about, he's talked about Iran. Agreed, no doubt. Iran is an existential threat to Israel. But this isn't what we're here to discuss. We're here to discuss Palestinian statehood. Why isn't he talking about this? I agree Iran is a big threat to Israel. You know, and no doubt there's a big threat to Israel with the Arab Spring all around it. These are issues, but the issue that we're here to talk about today, which again I said is the biggest threat to Israel, is the inability to deal with what's on their doorstep.
Okay, and what about the rest of you? Is there anyone there sitting there thinking he's getting this right?
I think this is yet another emotional speech that was actually preaching about peace, and it turned out to a hatred speech talking about Islamic radicalism or Islamic as an inherently violent religion. That is not the right
way.
He
absolutely, categorically did not say that. He said that militant Islam had nothing to do with the great faith which many people follow. He categorically didn't say that Islam as a whole was a violent religion. He just didn't say that.
Okay, maybe I quote that wrong, but the great emphasis that he put on the 9/11 and the whole preaching and the condemnation of the old dictators.
Right. But isn't he right? He talked about a malignancy. He said there's a malignancy and it's militant Islam. Wouldn't you all in Ramallah agree with that?
Yes, but the fact that he is talking about other things than the Palestinian bit showed to me that he also can't come up with viable reasons not to support that bit. Except for the negotiation reason, which I don't.
Well, I think that he should really clarify what has 9/11 to do with us, the Palestinians, or our application to get a full state recognition from the UN. I think that he should clarify this point, and I think that he has made one relevant sentence to the issue today, and he said that Palestinians want a state without peace, so don't give him that, and I think this is very immoral sentence, and let's assume that the Syrians doesn't want a peace with Israel, so does this deprive them of their right to have a state? Let's suppose that we, all the Palestinians, doesn't want peace with Israel. Does this deprive us because of this fact to have a state? I think that this is very, very immoral and incorrect sentence.
Okay. And let me just...
The only relevant thing that he said today, he's completely irrelevant.
Well,
he
lots of people on Twitter...
it's not Iran that...
Let me just jump in here to say that lots of people on Twitter are urging Mr. Netanyahu to talk more about this Palestinian application to become a full member of the UN. All of our guests in Ramallah are with James from the World Have Your Say team. James, I just wonder, is this speech up on the big screens? Are people following it? Doesn't sound like James. Maybe those of you...
I don't think James is here.
Oh, he's not there. Well, maybe you can you help me out? Is it up on the big screen?
No, they took down the screen right now. His speech is not up, but certainly a lot of people are watching it.